lose money too.
All right.
Welcome to Vinyl Verdict. I'm Bell.
I'm Jamie.
I'm Bloof.
And this week it's my pick. Let's go. Love my pick weeks. I know there's a handful of you out there that also look forward to my picks. Shout out to you. This week we're listening to Alchemy by Disclosure. An album I didn't choose because I love the band, though they are great, but because this album really stuck out as one of my favorites released in 2023. Probably top two? Top three?
I only know their song Latch.
Great song. I think almost everyone does. It's a song featuring Sam Smith that came out in like 2013 from their first album,
Didn't
Settle.
Didn't they take credit for like finding Sam Smith?
No, I think Sam Smith was already fairly popular by then, but if they did, cool.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have, because Disclosure is a duo made up of brothers Howard and Guy Lawrence from Surrey.
What?
Not from Canada.
Oh, okay.
No, not this Canada.
All right.
England.
The good one.
I did do the pause just in case someone wanted to ask who was from here.
And I continually confused him with Erasure, another band from England.
Yes.
Which is two brothers.
This one's better, though. I first came across Disclosure back around the time of like 2013 when the album came out for their first album, because Latch and You and Me exploded in popularity with me being a young guy in college. I heard it a lot, going to clubs, going to parties.
You young guy in college.
Oh, it was a great time. Latch went hard, and You and Me also goes hard. But since then, I haven't listened to too much by them. I had heard some of Caracal, that animal, Caracal?
Caracal, yeah.
Caracal, because I dated someone who liked the album, and I got it in the auction, actually, for like 10 bucks. So I own a copy of that album, but I've never actually listened to both sides, and I've never really purposely sought out their stuff. Like, I'd listen to You and Me and Latch and stuff like that. And I didn't seek out Alchemy either. I stumbled across it when I opened Apple Music, and it was like the new release category. Yeah. And I went, that's a cool album color.
It's their 2023 album.
Yes. That's last year. I was like, wow, that's a cool album cover. And I clicked on it. I was like, oh, Disclosure. And listened to it. And I was driving to work, and I was like, oh, my God, this album is great.
It's a vibe.
I really like this. Jungle is a genre of electronic music that's been really popular lately. A lot of breakbeats, a lot of things on Instagram, yeah. TikTok. I mean, maybe it's just mine, but I'm absolutely loving it. Jungle's like kind of almost PS2 drum and bass music. A lot of breakbeats, some synth work, fast kind of simple percussion, short loops. It's very good.
Would you say it's another one of those block rockin' beats?
Block rockin'.
What is that a reference to?
The song Block Rockin' Beats by the Chemical Brothers.
Chemical Brothers?
Yeah, the Chemical Brothers. Brothers are good. You should listen to them.
Yeah, it's a genre that's like been around for a pretty long time.
Oh, yeah. It was really big in the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense with Disclosure. But like house beats.
You like that song, The Funk Soul Brother?
Oh my God, we got to pick a Fat Boy album at some.
Sorry, go on.
Y'all are wildin'.
Sing it for me. How does it go? I don't know that one.
Check it out now. The Funk Soul Brother.
All right. Well, this is Disclosure's fourth album, and it comes 10 years after the release of their first album.
Crazy.
I don't actually have a whole lot of preamble for this. The fun fact, this is the first project by Disclosure to have zero guest appearances or samples. It's all Howard's lyrics and vocals and Guy's beats. I think it's a really cool idea for a duo who became so famous by making remixes with crazy features and samples to make an album that has none of it 10 years later to show how far they've come, their skills, everything like that.
And they're no longer on a major label.
Yeah, it's their first release. I don't know if it was independent completely or just on a smaller label. But very cool. Very cool to kind of take this risk, this change on something so different. Reviews on this album are decent, but they're kind of all over the place. Some reviews say it's the freshest Disclosure has been in ages, and others say it's not the music they go to Disclosure for. It's the album that made me go, screw you, Anthony Fantano, because he gave this a middling to negative review, and I was like, you're just wrong, because he was in the boat of, this isn't really what I want from Disclosure. But he's wrong. I'm in the camp of this being experts showing up to a viral genre to show what experience can bring, because Jungle's been around for a long time. Like, just because it's having a viral spike right now doesn't mean it's new. So them being able to show how it's done is pretty neat.
Yeah.
What do you think, Jamie?
Oh, man, I really like this album. I don't know why. This isn't the kind of music I listen to, but I like it. I had a good time with it.
Yeah, it's definitely a vibe. It's very spring.
Yeah.
Like, it's summery, but not like bright sun. It's like, yeah, it's just good.
Airy. Yeah, it's fun. I'm not into, like I keep repeating myself, but I'm not into this kind of music. Had I not been requested to listen to this for the podcast, I would never have.
Mm-hmm.
But I like it.
That's
There's
great.
A couple of songs that if I had a playlist that was ongoing, I would add to it. But I don't.
I've got a few on ongoing playlists. That makes sense.
But this is a surprise. And I thank Bell for introducing it to me. Mm-hmm. Just like I thanked him for introducing me to the other one, Electric
Guest.
Guest.
I was wondering.
Electric Teeth.
Yeah, Electric Teeth. I mean, great art, truly. Elevator Teeth.
Elevator. The Electric E.T. Man.
E.T.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please, what do you think?
I liked it for the most part. It's definitely like New Jungle. Sounds a little different. Like I actually didn't quite place it as jungle until a few tracks in.
Yeah, there's some that are very, or much more influenced.
Yeah, for sure. I'll say this, I'll talk more about it in Final Verdict, but I definitely prefer the first half quite a bit. Mm. And it's funny that you mentioned driving, because I actually, like, I liked the album when I reviewed it, and I was like, oh, I'll drive to this album. It would probably be a great driving music. I actually don't think it's very good for driving to if you listen to the whole album all the way through, because it's a bunch of songs have, like, a very slow start and end.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I drive, I just want constant music for the most part. I don't want like fade outs and like, I like tracks bleeding into each other. That's always really cool. But they do these like weird kind of interludes between them. And
almost
so,
every song.
Yeah. So I was driving and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this song's taking forever to kick in. And then it stops. And then I'm like, oh, this song's taking like forever to get to the next one. So I think while you're driving, like in the middle, oh, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's really good. But then there, I would love to hear this whole album with like 3 minutes cut from it.
Yes. That's all it would take to get out all of those
pretty
weird
much
in between bits. Yeah. And I agree, because it makes it hard to add songs to playlists when you know at the end you're going to hear a guy running.
Totally. Or like a car getting turned on. Or
like a cell phone.
And that's why I kind of place it as like a spring album, because it's summer kind of feels like it should be exciting, like you're trying to get somewhere. Yeah. Versus this is like traveling. Sure. To a destination. Like, it's slow, you don't have to worry about it. There's songs where it's more kind of peaceful but still energetic kind of thing, where it's like a after rain kind of feel. But I do agree, it's like the problem of skits where it's like I kind of just want to hear the song now. And yeah, a lot of songs I think on all of the ones that have some sort of interlude have written down what it is, because yeah, it's like as he's tired from the run that was at the beginning of the song and the end of the last song. And it's like, okay.
It's when I was listening to the album actively, writing notes, I was like, oh, that's cool. I really like this, because I like old experimental music that does that kind of thing and like ties songs together. But when I want to listen to this not actively and I just want music in the background, I don't know if I'd ever put it on.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a shame, because I really liked a lot of the tracks.
Yeah. I think most of the time I don't mind, because like some of these songs are on my playlist, and I don't think I've ever really recognized, you know, the running or whatever.
Sure.
But I would never put them in like a party playlist.
No, because
like, all of a sudden there's gonna be a silence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, no.
You don't want that during like a party or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is interesting to create an album that is almost meant to be played front to back every time because of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, interesting choice.
And it's like, it's dance music. Like,
I wonder if it has a single version of some of the songs, like where it doesn't have any of
the... Yeah, like a radio edit.
Yeah.
I'd love that.
Or like DJs, it'd be really easy because they can fade out this song while the next one comes in. Like, that's fine. So it's great for the club if someone's actively DJing it. But I would never like make a playlist for a party with these songs, I don't think.
Hmm. Well, should we just get right into it?
Let's do it.
I'm excited. Let's listen to it one more time.
Are you hyped?
I don't know if I go that far.
Okay.
Looking for Love, banger intro.
I like the crowd noise at the start. It's pretty cool, and then it turns into like a dance song. It's got a pretty good beat, decent lyrics.
Yeah, it's crowd noise, but it's like busy cafe.
Yeah.
So you kind of hear someone walking up and walking into this busy place.
Gets
and then,
the
funky synth
beat.
Yeah,
this is where I was like, I wrote, drums are sometimes almost jungle, but not quite, more modern.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. And then I like the airport ending too. Like I liked, that's the problem is I like all of these transitions. And then I went to listen to one in my car and I was like, I don't like it anymore.
Oh, this one gets me going.
This one's good. Yeah. It's like, they're all good.
This one gets me going. It's a simple song with bummer lyrics that are distorted enough to kind of seem upbeat. Like it's not easy to hear what he's saying, but when I was like reading them, I was like, huh. A lot of the lyrics kind of are more downer. The album was written after one of them had moved away and the other one through a breakup after like a long-term partner. And so like a lot of them are...
I had gotten married or whatever and
broke up. So it's like a lot of them are sadder, but you're too busy grooving. If I was in the club hearing this, I wouldn't care that it was like, I missed you so much. Yeah. It's like, oh, cool.
I'm dancing. I like the heavily synthesized voice.
Yeah.
Vocoded voice. I don't know how to describe it. The beat is all right. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, there's a lot of effects kind of bubbling in and warbling around, pulsing in and out. It's so hard to describe electronic music.
Yeah.
But it's there's so many layers that I'm like, man, the production on this is so good, even though it's basic. Yeah.
Sometimes
it's just cool.
It varies a lot for jungle too. Sometimes it's like almost chiptune or like, more 90s, early 2000s video game music.
Yeah, and the chiptune is a good way of putting it. Like even that bubbling sensation kind of is like a chiptune.
Yep. But effect. It's not like full chiptune. You've still got all those other like drum layers and stuff.
It's like game, not sprite, but like whatever sound effect you use for that. It's like, huh? And then it ends with somebody getting in an elevator and exiting in an airport.
Yeah.
Which I wrote is a little annoying.
I liked it. I thought it was cool, but
it's
cool.
Didn't bother me.
Yeah,
it's just I don't want that on my playlist.
Totally.
Up next is Simply Won't Do. I like it as a follow up because it has a similar beat but with a more reserved feeling. I think it's a little bit forgettable. Is the only problem?
It's got a good ooh.
There's like
good ooh.
There's two or three songs that I have like one line for notes, and this is one of them. I just wrote pretty good, a little repetitive, but I like the beat.
Love the beat.
Yeah, it's good. I like the little high pass filter bridge around a minute 50. It's a good touch, and that's really all it really is going for. Otherwise, it's just for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah,
it doesn't make me want to go to the club and beat up the beat, but you know, here we are. You know?
It's it ends with the sound of someone going on a jog.
Yep.
Yeah.
After that, it starts with the guy exhaling after stopping running, and it's higher than ever before.
This one's really good.
Synthy. I love this.
This is where I was like, okay, it's jungle time.
This is more
time.
Jungle, yeah.
Yeah.
Fun.
It's like it's from the late 90s. It's
it
like,
gives me the stankiest face.
Yeah.
Like, ooh.
It's got really airy vocals. I love the drums. I like it when it picks up a little about halfway through. The solo just after like 2.5 minutes is
really
neat.
Your face is getting stanky.
I don't know what else to call it but a solo.
Poof already has a stanky face.
Yeah,
so.
All the time.
Yeah, that... I think it's the one at 2:30.
Yeah.
There's like the brief pause, and it's just like the
synth.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
So good. It's really good. It gets me going every single time. Yeah, 2 minutes and 13 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it switches up a bit before ending. Just the really, the drums are very like trebly almost. Like,
yeah, the airy.
It's just so, it's hollow, but in such a satisfying way. And the loop is so short that it really just keeps you focused while all that.
A
popping is going on.
A friend of mine
is
in Brazil. She's there for Carnival.
Oh, cool.
And she's like, oh, I was like, oh, she's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm just listening to the next album for the podcast. And she's, oh, what is it? And I was like, it's Disclosure. She's like, I only know Latch. And I was like, oh, everyone only knows Latch. But she's like, what's the one from the album you would recommend? I was like, Higher Than Ever Before. And she puts it on and she's like, oh, this is funky. It's fun. Fun.
It is.
Yeah.
It's good.
So that was fun.
Yeah, it is. 100%. It's the one I go back to the most, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm next a little bit. I don't have a ton of notes for this one. It kind of reminds me of Pop from 2008, 2010.
Sure.
It's like major Owl City cross classic Deadmau5. This, like, it's very odd.
This is like the only track I'd probably just straight up cut from the album.
It's vaporwavy.
Yeah. I don't like the vocals very much. I do like the change up about 2/3 in quite a bit.
Oh, the where it gets quiet?
Yeah.
And then it comes back?
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's where it starts to remind me of Deadmau5.
Sure.
I'm like, this is the vocals and that basic beat that kind of made Deadmau5 popular back in the day.
One time I sold Deadmau5 an iPad and he was very rude to me and I don't like that guy.
He's rude to you?
Yeah.
I saw him at Shambhala, but it was a test pilot where he does like actual analog DJing, like with a big board they move around. And it was really cool, but that's not fun to watch at a festival.
Sure.
Like watching a guy like manually like putting stuff around and you're like, okay, it's going to get cool eventually. But it didn't. Not when you're like in a huge, there was probably like 2,000 people watching.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, this, I want to dance now.
Yeah. Give me the good stuff, Deadmau5.
Play Ghosts and stuff. This is a good song. It's just a little repetitive, and the vocals and lyrics leave a bit to be desired.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally fine, but I agree. It doesn't really need to be here.
Yeah.
Especially when some of the other songs are so tight and good.
In 2024, will dubstep make a comeback? Remember when it was in every movie trailer and game trailer?
Yeah. No, Skrillex makes other music now. It's over. We'll cover Skrillex's new album from 2023 because that's probably in the top three of 2023.
Dang.
For me.
Really?
Good. It might actually be number
I've
one.
Never listened to Skrillex. So.
It might be my number one. It's really good. Huh. Up next is Go the Distance, not the Hercules song. I can go the distance. No.
It's got. Yeah, we listened to that in Adam's car. It's got a swear in it, but the swear doesn't add anything to the song. So it's like misuse of a swear.
I didn't even notice it.
I didn't even notice either, so clearly it is.
Yeah.
It's a basic house song.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's a little hollow. I like
it's got a
like it because it has it builds up a little bit over the like 3 minutes, but the release at 3 minutes is quite good. So I was like, okay.
It's got a gassy, farty bass line. It's okay. it's too long.
Yeah. Synths, after the build-up and release, the synths fade out pretty quick, and then it goes back to feeling empty. I think this would go hard in a club.
Sure.
But I'm not, and a lot of these other songs aren't necessarily like club songs.
They're not a club banger.
So it's dance songs, but not necessarily clubs.
Yeah, not like a dark club song.
Do you remember when everything had a dance mix? You get an album, and then you get
like
a dance
still
mix.
Now.
Is that still a thing?
If you go to singles, like there are still a ton.
Yeah.
Where it's like, blank album, and they released another one called Blank the Remixes. Like that still happens. It's crazy.
So like I have a copy of David Bowie's Loving the Alien, which I don't think is a dance song, and then it's like the whole one side is just dance remixes of this one song.
Yeah.
It's like that U2 album that had the one side that was just that one weird club album song I was talking about. Yeah. It's like, okay.
The one thing about Go the Distance, I am always a sucker for claps.
You are.
And so I kind of like this
Stomps
one.
And claps.
Stomps and clicks. Claps and clicks.
are we gonna cover a Stomp and Tom Connors album?
No.
No, we'll do Lumineers. Then we'll see
God,
if he really
no,
likes
please
claps.
Don't make me cover Hey Ho. That song sucks. This song's awful.
Up next, Someday. I really like this interlude.
Yeah,
the vocalizing and harmonies are so good.
Yeah. So,
it's a nice little interlude that sets
this starts
up
off the second
track.
Side. I love it.
It's dope.
Yeah. Oh, it starts the second. That's pretty good.
I really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's really a good way to do it.
It's only 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Don't know. Sorry, 3/4 of a minute.
There you go.
But it follows up with "We Were in Love." And let me say, we're in love with this song too.
It sounds like a Yeji song.
It does,
right?
Honestly,
oh.
It does. If Yeji was just rapping on this, and
I never thought
probably
about
if it
that.
Was a little
darker.
Yeah, like even darker. But
yeah, like dark.
I really like this. The simple start, so good. The build up and drop at a minute 11.
I didn't really enjoy Yeji, but I enjoyed this one.
You're psycho for not liking.
Well, Yeji. I mean, we mentioned that like this is it'd be darker probably if it was Yeji and
sure. We all liked EP2 for Yeji.
Yeah, her first one not so
oh,
good.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking Joji. Never mind.
Oh yeah, Joji's very
yeah.
Different.
Sorry, I've confused the Joji. Two of them again. I didn't enjoy Joji. Yeji's fine.
I like this one. I thought it was a little more boring or repetitive than previous tracks, so I'm not crazy about it. But it ends with a dog showing up, so
it does.
They win that
what
one.
What the dog doing?
Yeah, the build up and drop in minute 11 is so good, and the energy's higher after it. The second drop at 3 minutes and 30 seconds is also very, very stanky.
Sure.
But then it goes back to just basic synth work and begins to wind down at around 4 minutes, so I was like, meh. And then it ends with 40 seconds of rain, guitar, playing, and dog petting.
Yep.
It's a good song, but again, very hard to throw into a playlist when 40 seconds is something else.
Yep.
Yeah.
Too much. Too much. But it leads into Sun Showers. I love the rain that goes to the song.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, rain, okay. But no, it perfectly sets up the vibe of the song.
Yep.
It's very.
It is a sun shower song. It's called Sun Shower.
It's very ethereal, very airy.
Yeah.
This is a PS2 menu music in a very good way.
I wrote it's a great background track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's got bright synths. It, like I said, matches the song name. The only vocals is a little shout that pans between the left and right channels.
Yeah.
It's very relaxing, good driving, the light of the setting sun, and you want to keep the energy up, but not to a crazy degree song, which is very niche, but it is that.
And the rain at the end is just so good.
Yeah, and it gets heavier and thunder booms. I was like, oh.
And then the continuity of it into Purify was like really good.
Oh my gosh, so good. After Sun Showers, Purify. The rain continues into the intro of this one as well, like you said, but the vibe is different.
Yeah, and it's only 2 minutes long. I don't mind it, but I wasn't crazy about this one either. I wrote that it's kind of weird.
It's nice and short.
Yeah. It the vibe is different. It has a more electric feel with pulsing and buzzing synths fading in and out.
Yeah.
And with a shaker and tapping panning through the speakers.
Yeah.
If you like ASMR, this is the song for you.
I believe Electric Feel is from a different album.
Ayo. It's just a long interlude, but it's pleasing in a retro, future, space fantasy kind of way.
I just thought it didn't really fit super well. Like, they transitioned into it nicely, but I just want more jungle and drum and bass and stuff.
It's almost like this should have just been the end of Someday.
Sure.
Like, oh,
sure.
As like a longer interlude. Absolutely,
sure.
It would have made it more, again, electronic before getting into We Were in Love or Sunshowers kind of thing. And after that, it ends with the car door opening and closing, and Brown Eyes starts with the car starting and going through radio stations before suddenly a song playing. And then the song starts, but the first chunk of it sounds like it's coming through a car radio, which I was like, move on. Like, I want to just hear the song now. I don't want to hear it through that.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm a sucker for that kind of thing.
What does the Wish You Were Here thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's 50 seconds.
Yeah.
So almost a minute of that.
It's too long, yeah.
It does sound sort of like it's listening from a cassette tape.
It also, I wasn't 100% sure, but it kind of sounds like he turns it up twice in stages. So it's almost like, because it doesn't perfectly swell up to max volume. So it's almost like he goes to like up the volume and then up it again.
Okay.
That's kind of a neat.
And I kind of liked it. I didn't mind it. So
I like the vocal effect they're using. Sounds like Cassiopeia vocoder for I Love New York.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a great song. I kind of wish this one was longer because you only get just about a minute of it outside the car intro and the ending fade out.
Yeah, that's...
I'm like, come on, I actually like this, but a minute is unlistenable and it fades out. So yeah. I'm like, okay.
It's really hard because the rest of it's, when it does go, it's going really well. But it's just, it's so much. It's like intro, outro. It's like, man, just take your car for a longer drive and keep the song going.
Okay, he got to the grocery store, so the car closed.
Pretty much. That's the vibe I got.
Talk on the phone.
This one's okay. I'm not crazy about the vocals, and the lyrics are kind of repetitive. I think it's an okay final track, but I think it's one of the weaker songs on the whole album.
I agree.
I think it's fine. I think the vocals are actually quite good. I think the two of them are talented, and I would have assumed this was a feature from a professional vocalist. Yeah. It's a solid end of the album in the way that it kind of takes some things that they've been exploring through it, like the lighter kind of mood with faster beats and the singing, but... it's maybe just a little bit too light and fluffy. Like, it's hard to end an electronic album.
Yeah, I was going to say, how would you have ended this album? I'm not sure. But
yeah, I think that's why I kind of like it a bit more, because it could have just been like another random song and then it ends. But instead, it keeps that vibe going and then leaves you on a positive note. It's just like not what I kind of like some of the complaints about the whole album are. It's not what I want from like a dance song or like an electronic song from Disclosure.
It does end the album very well. I just don't think it's as strong as the other tracks.
Well, let's talk about the album itself.
Tell me more.
Show it to me.
Album itself, I talked a little bit about it last week in our episode about favorite album covers.
Needlepoint.
Because the front is Needlepoint.
Yeah, it's a really pretty.
Very cool.
I wouldn't have known had you told me. I thought it looked like a pastel painting.
Almost. I can show you. I mean, I think I showed you last
time. You want to show me your Needlepoint? What do you want
to do? The cover is the two brothers. One has a hand on his face. A nice ring. In front of a window with some plants behind them, and then there's faces in the plants.
Oh, I didn't know this, behind those. Yeah.
It's kind of in the style that they use for their album covers. So Latch has a picture of two kids with like this pencil line around their face. Caracol has a caracol with its line, their face with lines on it. So they have a very established style. So it's interesting to see how they kind of established it in here. And on the back, it's the back of the Needlepoint, which I think is so cool.
Really
cool.
That's nifty.
So it's like all. Yeah. You know, tufts and mess and stuff like that, which is very, very cool.
Yeah.
My complaint is it's not a very thick jacket, so it feels kind of flimsy.
Oh, the worst.
Which is too bad. It's not awful, but...
it's whipping.
On the sleeve, we have the lyrics, which are, of course, very basic. And then we have thanks on the other side. It says guys, thanks, and it has a bunch of stuff. Howard's thanks, and a bunch of stuff. And then Disclosure. So I guess if they didn't want... Neither of them wanted to thank them, but the band, which is both of them, wanted to thank, which is fine. Album itself is 180 gram, and then it's just Needlepoint on one side and black on the other. Let me tell you, I got raked over the coals. The title of this episode, if you didn't notice, is probably something like Bell Got Ripped Off. I got ripped off.
How much did you pay for this?
I don't want to talk about it.
$600.
I don't want to talk about it.
How much did you pay? $700. You got to tell
us. I pre-ordered a copy from their site because I wasn't sure if we'd get a major release. I was like, this album's great. Sure. They're like, it's going up for pre-order. This is like in November.
Sure.
I was like, great. It's shipping from the UK. So I was like, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
It was £50. which I was like,
with shipping or without?
Sterling. That's with. But I was like, that's expensive.
That's not awful. With shipping, that's not awful.
85 Canadian dollars? When I read the amount, I'm like, it's foreign currency. That's probably not bad. Like, I doubt it's that big of a difference. It is.
Yeah.
Would I pay $85 again? No, because you can buy it for 25 Canadian from, like, other stores.
Amazon is currently selling it for $30.
Oh, that's... Okay, look.
You got raked over the coals.
If it was an indie artist, you're buying it off Bandcamp, and that's what the shipping costs... I would fully accept it, but the fact that you can buy it off Amazon for like $30,
the shipping was a huge chunk.
That's I've ordered a lot of stuff from like Germany and the UK, and it's always like 20 to 30 euro or pound just for shipping.
I'll go on Discogs and buy a copy for $30 now because I checked.
Yeah, that's
I checked
rough.
And I went.
That is rough.
Oof, tough with two F's.
Yeah,
I was. I'm in shame. Would I buy it for $25?
100%.
Abso-freaking-lutely. I bought it for 50 pounds, but it was a good deal. But for it to come with, like, not really much, anything special, doesn't come with a download code, if you're wondering.
Oh, my God.
Maybe a digital one in my email. I have no idea. The cover is amazing, but it's not that great of a jacket.
That's brutal.
Rough. That's I may as well start with my vinyl verdict. This is an excellent modern electronic album that touches multiple genres while keeping the vibe of the album consistent but not boring. I'm going to put Alchemy by Disclosure. This is not accounting for price.
Please count for price.
In the sixth spot, below Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band by the Beatles.
Okay, now...
and above Modern Sounds in the Country and Western Music by Ray Charles.
Okay, now account for price.
The price you paid. Five spots lower?
Six spots lower? Is this number 17 album?
It would it'd still be pretty high. Like I still would listen
still
to this.
It's still good.
Yeah, I would still listen to this over Arctic Monkeys, probably. No, it'd probably drop two spots. It'd go under Ray Charles and Arctic Monkeys, be above Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. Sure. Cause that although Lamb Lies Down on Broadway is great, it is very long. Like there's a lot of ups and downs stuff. This is a very good album that I like a lot. Like it's hard to talk about electronic music in a descriptive enough way to get the song across to a listener. But this is worth checking out. And it's a great spring vibe to shake off the gray. So, like, when I listen to this, I feel really positive after listening to it.
Sure.
$85, though?
It's pretty rough. If it was limited edition pressing and you couldn't get it elsewhere, sure.
I'm a hoser.
Sure.
I'm a hoser.
But, yeah. That's pretty bad.
Yeah, it stinks. It sounds good, though. Like, it does sound... No, I can't justify, man. $85.
great news. I just paid $30 for it.
Yeah.
As we were sitting here...
Do you want to give me $50 instead?
How about I get the pleasure of rubbing it in your nose later?
Yeah, man. Yep. Jamie, what do you think?
It's 11 out of 13. I think it's one of the best albums we've listened to this year.
Let's go. I'm pumping my fist like Poof did last week.
You forced me to listen to something I would never listen to, and I enjoyed it.
Let's go.
And then I bought a copy.
$30
but then I bought it for
deal.
Way cheaper than Bell did because Bell's an idiot.
Yeah. Honestly,
what an absolute buffoon. Who
$30 even I'm tempted.
I thought 50 pounds wasn't that bad.
You got a hose.
I didn't know until it came out of my account and I was like, what is this?
Yeah, it's rough.
Oh, what a buffoon. Oh. Anyway, Bell, what'd you think?
Ploof?
Wait, Ploof.
Yeah,
Bell, we already
know what I think. I think I paid too much. I think Bell got ripped off with the title set.
That's a weird thing to say about Bell.
I think this album has a fantastic start, but the second half is just not nearly as strong for me, and it's a shame because I love how those songs transition nicely into one another, but they're either like too experimental or they're too bland compared to the first like five or six songs, not counting Someday. Side one is like a 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. Like side one is amazing, but the whole album together is like a 7.5 to me. The transitions can be frustrating or annoying, especially when you're trying to like listen to this while you're driving or working out or whatever, which is like, I would love to listen to Jungle while I'm driving or working out, but I probably won't ever put this song on a playlist because of that. And side two, I don't know what it is. I was just getting bored of it by then. Maybe it's because of all the transitions. I'm not sure. I just didn't think it was as strong. Side one is great. And I'm tempted to buy it for $30. I'm tempted to buy the album just to put side one on sometime.
I'll buy your copy right now.
Plus the art?
Yeah, the art's fantastic.
I'll buy Ploof a copy and still come out less than what you pay.
Yeah, but I've had this for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow, 2 weeks.
Because I pre-ordered it in November and got it not long ago. Because remember on three episodes ago, I said, I have to go to the States to pick up this record. Yeah, yeah. It was this one.
No, don't pre-order.
And I found out doing research on this, I got ripped off.
What an idiot.
Hell yeah.
Well, this album rocks. Ploof is wrong. Listen to it.
Hey, side one is fantastic.
I'm gonna listen to this on the drive home. I'm gonna get home. I'm gonna put this in my record player. Sure. So when I go to listen to something, it'll be this.
Sure.
I really enjoy it that much. Check it out.
Is it round, Duke?
Is it round?
Remember that time we bought that Frank Ocean one?
Listen, this is a dunk on Bell O'Clock.
You paid a lot of money for that one. Maybe my next pick will be
Blonde by Frank Ocean, so because it plays on like this other copy I had that's useless to me now.
Nice. Oof.
But next week we're not listening to Blonde. We're listening to Jamie's pick. What is it?
Well, technically, this is a joint pick because I own it, and he owns the more expensive one. We're listening to the Tame Impala's
Currents
album. But
we're going to talk about Ploofs, right? Because I want to see the limited edition one.
I'm going to bring... I have the box set.
Let's go.
I have the nice collector's
edition. Actually never listened to all of Currents.
Oh, really?
That's good. Really like Tame Impala. Yeah,
it's good. Well, you know what? The less I know, the better. Oh, see you next week.
Oh, my God. That's such a good song.
No, it should be a good one. People often, including our number one fan, Sarah, who also tells me I'm wrong about Beyonce all the time. shout out to her for always listening to every episode. But anyway.
You just wanted to shout her out. There's no reason to talk about
it. No, she always accuses me of listening to music that came out like 300 years ago.
It's very true. Most of the time.
It is very true.
Most of the time.
But which is fine. But here's one from 2014 or 15.
Something like that.
Something like that.
That's still technically vintage.
Is it?
Vintage, no. Wow.
I listened to this music a lot at one point, and then I bought it. And then we'll talk about mine, because mine is less superior than Ploof's.
Yeah, you know what? This will be a good topic. We'll do our little...
buying records that you can't return.
No. Good single artist bands. Like... Oh, coming to mind would be like Foo Fighters, Gorillaz, Tame Impala, like all these ones where it's
Foo
like
Foo Fighters really single. Like,
yeah, because it was just
Dave Grohl on the first album. He played
He played everything.
Okay,
and then they forced him to get a band.
Right.
Same with like Gorillaz. Is it really Damon Albarn?
No,
like,
but
did they force him to get a band, or did Pat Smear just need work?
First of all, last name Schmear. I feel bad for whoever that man is.
It's a stage.
Pat Smear. Yeah. Can you think of any other good solo? I mean, I guess Jimi Hendrix would be one.
Yeah, there's a lot of like solo artists.
well, that's just a
she's singer. Synonymous too.
That's just a singer.
Michael Jackson.
A band?
Oh,
I'm trying to look through my
single.
Anybody
person.
Who has and like the Sam Roberts band? It's like anyone who's just the name and band.
Yeah, I wonder. Steve Miller Band
bought an album recently. Delicate Steve.
That's a sick name.
You bought Delicate Steve?
Yeah, I own After Hours.
Because
Scooby
Colin?
Snacks. What? Oh,
yeah.
Colin?
Yeah, Colin. Yeah, Colin always shows me Scooby Snacks.
Dude, I've been listening to... I bought this album like months ago.
Call Colin.
I got to tell Colin that I own it then, because if he loves Scooby Snacks, which is...
Bring it. Do you own it tomorrow? Work tomorrow. Show it to him.
Yeah, he'll love it. That's pretty funny.
I want to see it.
Yeah, Colin, it's really...
So Colin is the production assistant at the office, but every so often you come up and you're like, it's sticky. And I'll be like, what the hell are you talking about? Then he showed me like this clip is from it's like this band is called Delicate Steve, and I'm like, the cartoon is hilarious.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. If you if you like that one, check out all that guy's other work. It's
Delicate Steve.
No. Well, I mean Delicate Steve, but like the guy doing the comic,
the cartoons,
the cartoon,
the cartoon stuff is great.
They're very funny. I watched that and I was like, oh, okay. I like the guitar that's in the background. Sure. And then I looked it up.
I hear something about Scoob Snacks.
Yeah. I looked him up on Bandcamp after and I bought the album, but, he's pretty good. I think he's mostly solo.
Delicate Steve. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's
funny. That's I didn't know Colin
wild.
Likes it. Yeah. That's pretty hilarious.
Yeah, better message Colin about
it. Yeah. I'll totally let him know. It's a great album too. I really dig it. It's a good guitar album.
We'll see you next week where we covered not Delicate Steve, Tame Impala's Currents. And I'll tell you
Kevin.
I'll talk about how...
Kevin's never delicate.
Shout out to my friend Kevin who listens to this podcast.
Your friend with Tame Impala?
No, he's not in Tame Impala. Anyway, we'll talk about how I own a record that was shaped like a roller coaster and how the retailer I bought it from wouldn't take it back.
Very cool.
And we'll talk about Ploof's much superior copy.
Very good.
See you next week.
It's got a flexi disc in it.
Bye.
Bye.
What's a flexi disc?
It's a disc you can flex.